Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from The Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, clear communication, a conversation with Kelly McCarville. Doesn't everyone hear the dead? That's what a young Kelly McCarville wondered as she went about her life as a child. Day after day, she would sense, hear, sometimes even see the souls of those who no longer lived on this earth in the physical sense. These experiences were all viewed as normal because they were just that in the dynamics of her life. As she grew, these abilities only got stronger. Today, she uses them to help investigate and communicate messages from the grave to the living. This is her story on The Grave Talks.
You know, that's kind of an interesting question because I know a lot of people are able to tie it back to like a certain occurrence. Something happened and that's what sparked everything off for them. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's really not the case. So I am a psychic medium, but I am also a paranormal investigator. And I guess I don't even remember doing this, but I started dabbling in the weird before I can even remember. My mom shares stories with me about how I would talk to people who weren't there. And I had a, you know, quote, quote, imaginary baby that I knew where it was. And as a toddler, I'd set it down and hours later would go back to the same spot and pick it up. And I would know things before things happened. Like I'd walk into the house and I'd say, "Hey, Mom, your best friend's about to call." And then the phone would ring. But I didn't realize I was doing those things when I was little. I just kind of assumed everybody knew things the way that I knew things. Mm-hmm. I think when the paranormal aspect of it kind of came into things was about the time that I was about 10 or 11 years old. We moved from this little bitty house that I lived in across town into a home that was built in 1937. So it wasn't like tremendously old, but it had multiple spirits that resided there. And so from the day that we moved in, we started having occurrences in the house. I was still really young. I had a bedtime and my mom would yell. It was the first time I had my own bedroom. I was so excited. I was upstairs away from them. It was so cool. But my mom kept yelling up the steps at me, "Kelly, get in bed. It's past your bedtime. You're supposed to be asleep." And I'm like, "I am in bed." And she, of course, didn't believe me because I was a kid and she could hear me up there walking around. And so one night she snuck upstairs as quiet as she could be, trying to catch me in the act. I was sound asleep. We would have things like that happen all the time where we would see things just, you know, out of the corner of our eye, or things would be moved around the house, or something would just fall off of a shelf for no reason right in front of us. It'd just fall off of a shelf and we'd been maybe sitting there watching a TV show. So it's not like somebody just walked into the room and rattled it off the shelf. We'd been sitting there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. So we started having all these little things happening. And I think that's when I started understanding that there was something besides us in the world and starting asking the questions and hearing my mom talk about ghosts. And it helped that I was raised by a parent who had a lot of interest and understanding in all of this. She has always been interested in the paranormal and in the metaphysical world, and she reads nonstop. So she had a lot of knowledge into all of this too. And, you know, so, and she indulged us a lot. So, you know, we would go out to scary locations and try to scare ourselves, and just, I guess all of that's kind of a typical story, but it was, you know, a long-winded answer, but it was probably about middle school, about that 10, 11, 12 years old, that I really started understanding there was more in the world than just us, mm-hmm. and starting to understand what it was and how to communicate with all of it.
And it's very interesting. There's a lot to unpack there. And I want to kind of go back to some of the first things you talked about and then work forward. The imaginary baby that you had. Now, your mom told you about this. Do you yourself have memory of playing with the imaginary baby?
You know, I remember having an imaginary baby, but I don't remember I don't remember thinking it's not real. And maybe that's how it is for all kids who have imaginary friends. Maybe they think they're real, mm-hmm. but I've wondered that a lot too myself. Is like, I look back to my childhood and I think, how many times did I see a spirit and I didn't realize that it was a spirit because I just assumed it was a real person because that's how I see them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know for sure if it registered with me that I was seeing something that other people couldn't, or if I really just assumed that I was making it up myself. But I remember playing with the baby.
So you, because my question is, you remember like physically seeing this baby? Because a lot of times when people have, you know, imaginary friends, they're just that. You don't see them. But for some people, when they have imaginary friends, they do see them. But sometimes the conversation is never had until much later in life, where someone finally realizes, oh, you mean you don't see your imaginary friends too? And I'm wondering if that's kind of the case of what it was like for you.
And it's weird because even now, I mean, even knowing everything that I know and being more aware of my abilities and what I can do, sometimes I have to stop and make myself think about, okay, am I really seeing this thing with my eyes, or am I seeing this thing in my head? Uh-huh. And because I've had that where I'll be out on an investigation and I'll see something and they'll like, so did you see it, or did you just see it? And I have to stop and think about it. It's the weirdest thing.
Sure.
Because to me, it all registers the same. Whether I see it in my head or I see it with my eyes, I saw it. So
then you have
I don't know very honestly.
Yeah. It's just interesting because, you know, some will, especially if you saw it, but then I was like, I didn't see that. But it's plain as day to you because you have that ability. And that's why I find it interesting when we talk about imaginary friends and people having those experiences, is so many people have that thing where they saw it plain as day. And you know, they just thought that everyone was, you know, teasing them or whatnot because you're a little kid. And everything mm-hmm. to you at that point is normal, even if it is abnormal or is paranormal or whatever you want to call it. So that's interesting.
And I almost have to say that I did see it, whether it be in my head or with my eyes, because mom would tell me, like, we'd be leaving to go someplace and I'd set the baby down and I'd come back in the house. And if I didn't remember where I set it, I would look around and she could tell when I found it.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to have been able to see it one way or the other to go, oh, there's my baby, you know?
Sure.
So I was seeing it somehow.
And that's an interesting one to have, too, an imaginary baby. Yeah. And not just like a friend, because a lot of times it will be, you know, a kid or something of a similar age. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that when you look back on this retrospectively of you had an imaginary baby?
I wonder if it's just, I've always been drawn to kids, and I've noticed and have had other people comment about this actually, that something about me or my personality or my energy or something seems to draw in the children's spirits. So I don't know if maybe if it truly was a spirit baby, if somehow that was drawn to me because it could see me, mm-hmm. or if it's just I liked babies at the time. But I know, like, when we go out to locations that have a number of spirits, it's not uncommon for the children to come find me.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you think that this was a spirit of a child that you, in fact, were playing with back then?
I would like to think maybe. But that kind of goes back to just, you know, if there is a baby spirit out there and it's just a baby that's looking for some comfort, I would like to think maybe I was able to give it some of that comfort, but I don't remember it well enough to be able to say one way or the other for sure.
Yeah.
If I think it really was a spirit or not.
Sure. Now, your mom, obviously, she accepted this. She wasn't sitting there telling you, oh, this is, you know, it's in your head. Go do something else. She was actually recognizing, no, I think my daughter actually is having these experiences.
And, oh, absolutely.
And really kind of helped you, you know, validated them. I mean, that's amazing. Was that validation coming from other places as well? Or was it more difficult to kind of talk about any of these things in your family, with friends, anything like that?
I'm not as young as I would like to think I am, but I'm old enough that when I first started figuring this all out, it still wasn't mainstream and it wasn't normal for people to have abilities. So when I first started talking to people, it was primarily like my mom or my good friends, but it wasn't something that I talked to everybody about.
Sure.
And when I did start sharing my abilities or even my interest in the paranormal, I kept it pretty, either people that I knew really well that I knew weren't going to judge me because of it, or oddly enough, complete strangers, people like I knew I'd never meet.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started doing readings for people, I did all online readings with people that I would never meet. And that way I could stay hidden away in the broom closet and pretend to be a normal person out there in society while being able to do what I felt like I was supposed to be doing. But sure. My mom was always super supportive, and my dad was in the picture, and he was pretty, he just went to work and said, yeah, okay, as long as you're happy. So he was pretty nonchalant about the whole thing one way or the other. But, you know, the thing about having the mom that I did, and the reason that was, I was as lucky in that area as I was, is you see the parents who are either, they'll tell the kid or the young person, stop making things up, that's not real, don't tell stories. Or you'll find the other side of the parents who are like, oh my gosh, of course you're special, and like encourage the kids to a point that the kids feel like they need to make stuff up to keep the parents happy.
Sure.
And my mom was one of those happy mediums. She'd be like, okay, you think you have this. This is great. Let's talk about this. Why do you think you do? What has happened that makes you think this? Let's try things out. What works? What doesn't work? But she also helped me build that confidence up. You know, she presented situations for me to be able to do like cold readings for people. That was one of the games that we used to play when we'd be in the car driving someplace. She would tell me the first name of somebody that she knew that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I would explain who that person was to her, what their personalities were like, things about their family, just things that I was told through my abilities that I obviously didn't have a reason to know because I didn't know that person. But it was a way for her to see, yeah, there really is something to this, but it was also a way for me to build up my confidence in what I could do. And she's not one of these people who would agree with me regardless. If I was wrong, she's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen that often.
Sure.
But when I missed, she'd be the first one to tell me, no, that's not right. So mm-hmm. she's not a fluffer. She'll tell me when I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So while other kids are playing roadside bingo, you were doing the readings of her friends.
Pretty much.
I love
it. Pretty much. And to me, that's a normal childhood. I didn't think anything of it.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.